Hello, I'm Lee Hatcher with the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm in conversation with Dr. Christian van Nieuwenberg. Christian is Associate Professor of Coaching and Behavioural Change at Henley Business School and Director of Research for Growth Coaching International. So, how and why did he find himself in this particular field of research?
Coaching and education is something that I've been interested in for some time. I used to work in the education sector within the professional development arena, and I was very interested in the kinds of interventions that led to changes in the classroom. And having looked at a broad range of interventions, it seemed to me that coaching was one of those interventions that allowed for implementation of initiatives. And then when we started using more coaching in educational settings, it became important for me to make sure that these interventions were evidence-based, which meant that we had to encourage research into coaching in education and also do some of our own research into that area.
Have you been surprised? Have you been gratified by the data that you've collected?
I wrote a book back in 2012. It was called Coaching in Education, Getting Better Results for Students, Educators and Parents. And so that's what we've been interested in, that getting the results. And so what I'm grateful for is that there is more research now into this area. It's still a new area for research. And I would say that the research into coaching in education falls under the umbrella of coaching generally. There's quite a lot of research into coaching. And so coaching in education research is a subset of that. And I'm very pleased to say that since the publication of the book in 2012, there's been even more interest in the area. And now there's quite a significant body of research into coaching in education.
Christian, in a recent editorial in the publication Coaching, an International Journal of Theory, Research and Practice, you mentioned the interplay between theory, research and practice. Tell us what you mean by that.
I'm particularly interested in this concept of the interplay between those three things. And the reason is because coaching is an applied intervention. So the practice part is important. But as I was saying earlier, we want to make sure that the practice is informed by research. And that's what I mean by evidence-based coaching. So when I talk about the interplay between theory, research, and practice, the word interplay suggests that it's not a clear one-way travel between the three things. The way I see it, practice is the most important aspect because this is where it's making a difference for learners. And I think it's the practice starts to do two things. One, the practice starts to raise questions. And those questions are questions that could be research topics and should be researched. But also, by putting these interventions into practice, educators can start to theorize. They can start to say, every time we use coaching in this way, this seems to happen. That's a theory. And those theories are important for us as well. And the theories can also inform further practice, but raise further questions. So this idea of interplay is essential. And I think that educators are the right people to be the theorizers, to be theorizing, but also to be the researchers as well as the practitioners. So educators are really at the heart of this because they are the ones who will be putting these interventions into practice in the best interest of learners. And so one of the words that I've been using recently, it's a word I heard at a conference, it's Professor Lee Waters mentioned it, the word is pracademic. And I really like the idea of pracademic. And one, because it sounds a bit like paramedic, which is a nice word, but more so because I think that here at Growth Coaching International, where I'm director of research, I'd like to see my role as straddling both the research side of things, but also the practice. So the academic side and the practice side, leading to that word pracademic.
Let's drill down into the whole question of research a little deeper. What would you say are the particular challenges of conducting research here?
So the area we're interested in is in education. And particularly for me, I'm quite interested in the primary and secondary sectors. And so there has been quite a bit of research into these areas. And I would say some excellent research, much of it done here in Australia. And quite a lot also coming out of the United States and the United Kingdom. And these pieces of research have taken place in school. So that's an important factor. And that's where the challenge comes from as well. Because often when we think of scientific research, it's done in laboratory conditions when you're able to control for all sorts of extraneous factors. So probably currently, there's two challenges that I see within the sector. One is about the sense that when we do research in schools, we're working in a very busy environment, and the priority has to be to the work of the school.
Yes.
So sometimes it's difficult to try to create control groups, which is what we do in what we call scientific laboratory research. Gathering data can be difficult. There's challenges around parental consent, consent of students themselves. So there's those kinds of challenges existing around working within schools. So when I do this kind of work, or when we work with others, it's important for us that we do so respectfully, so that we go into schools recognizing that they're professional workplaces, and the priority has to be about the learning experience for students. So there's that set of challenges. The other is a more interesting one, which I want to spend a bit more time on. The other challenge around coaching and doing research around this is that for me, there's three elements to successful coaching in educational settings. One element is about the process. For us here at GCI, the process that we talk about is the growth process. Another aspect of successful coaching is a set of coaching-related skills. So those skills we can observe, and you could say we can measure. Those are the skills of listening, asking questions, summarizing, those kinds of things. And the third element, which I think makes the biggest difference, is what we talk about as the coaching way of being. Now, when it comes down to trying to research that, or trying to measure whether educators or students are using that coaching way of being, that's a difficult one. And so where some of the research has been criticized is others coming along and saying, okay, you did a piece of coaching work in schools, and you're saying that student well-being increased as a result of it. You're saying that student engagement increased. You're saying that teacher motivation increased. Those are the kinds of findings that are coming out. But the critics are saying, is that because they were coached? Or is it simply that somebody took an interest in the work they're doing, somebody's spending some time finding out, somebody's being curious about this? And so from a research point of view, that's a fair criticism, and I'm not sure how we overcome that at the moment. But in terms of what we're about, in terms of what we're passionate about in this area, sometimes my response is, does it really matter whether it's the coaching itself, or the fact that a professional is taking a particular interest, or another student is taking an interest in us? So that's a more complex but interesting challenge that we face within this area.
You're listening to the Growth Coaching International podcast in conversation with our Director of Research, Dr. Christian van Nieuwenberg. Christian, a couple of practical questions. First, I guess where the rubber hits the road, can you tell us about schools where coaching is making a real difference to school leaders, to teachers, and to students?
Yeah, I guess that's what we're all about, yeah. Both at Growth Coaching International, but also with my research hat on. Ultimately, it's the difference it makes to educators, to learners, and to everybody involved in this undertaking. And so it's probably the most enjoyable part of my role is actually going out and seeing schools.
I bet.
Where these kinds of things are taking place. And also we ask for case studies from schools where we believe there's some excellent work going on. So I'm just going to mention three examples just to show the breadth of the kind of work that's going on and also the fact that it can happen in various sectors. And these case studies are actually available online so that listeners might want to, if they want to find out more, they'll be able to read up on these case studies. So the first is Comet Bay College, where James Hares and Nancy McNally used coaching with a particular focus on improving professional practice. Their work was wonderful, and we picked it out as a case study for a book that I edited called Coaching in Professional Context. And what is really remarkable about their work is that they're interested in developing a whole school approach to classroom observation. So that's a really interesting area. I think it's a particularly interesting area because I go and visit schools both in Australia, but also back in the United Kingdom where I live. And there's something remarkable about saying to a teacher that he or she is going to be observed. It's amazing the kind of reaction you get. And therefore, coming up with a coaching approach to observation to create a safe space for a professional to reflect on their professional practice, that's a powerful intervention. So the Comet Bay College case study is an interesting example of that. Another case study that we reference is the Hennessy Catholic College. And they're interested in using coaching really to unlock the potential of their school. And what they do is they use coach training to transform the culture of the organization. And again, in research terms, this is something I've been quite curious about. The extent to which training people to become coaches may have an impact on their the way that they interact with others, on their leadership style, on their own engagement, on their own motivation. And this is something that I did a piece of research on with a colleague, Chloe Tong, back in, I think it was 2013. We actually trained some secondary school students to become coaches. And interestingly, our focus was not on those who received the coaching, but those that we trained to become coaches. So the Hennessy Catholic College case study is an example where coach training was used as a way of transforming the school culture. So I think that's a really interesting example. And the third example that I'll mention is Mossman Preparatory School, where they put in place a strength-based coaching program in year five. Clive Leach and Susie Green have written a chapter in the book Coaching and Professional Context about integrating coaching and positive psychology in school. And this is a wonderful example where this strength-based coaching program for year five children increased both engagement and hopefulness. So it's stories like these, real stories in real schools, that encourages us. And this is what coming back to this idea of interplay between theory, research, and practice. These case studies emerge from research. There's some research to say that these kind of interventions are helpful. These schools are putting them into practice, and through the practice, we're able to come up with theories, to theorize that these kinds of interventions can lead to these kinds of results. And then it again takes us back into this loop of doing further research, maybe on a grander scale across a larger number of schools in different contexts. So I think for all these reasons, the impact it has in schools that probably excites me the most, and it probably excites the listeners to this podcast the most. And that's why it's great to hear these stories. And I'm always interested in finding out more. My colleague John Campbell and I are working on a new book called The Teacher's Handbook for Coaching, Mentoring, and Positive Psychology in Schools. And again, we're looking for excellent case studies because we want to make sure that what we're writing about is rooted in practice and will inform practice.
So considering all that, my other practical question is, what are some of the ways in which schools might get started with integrating coaching in their school life?
I think that's a wonderful question. Here at Growth Coaching International, we've developed what we call the Global Framework for Coaching in Education. And within that, we've identified four portals or four areas in which coaching can start to make a quick difference. So it's a question I get asked a lot. Where do we start? And it's a wonderful question. And I think the answer to that question lies within the school, because they should start where they're most interested, and they should start where they think it's going to have the biggest impact. But so let me share with you what these four areas are. The first area is around professional practice. So if the school is interested in enhancing the professional practice of educators, that's a good area to start. And any intervention within that area will be sufficient. The other area is student success and well-being. So they could focus on coaching interventions that focus directly on the learner, providing them with coaching, training them to become coaches. Another important area, of course, is the leadership of that educational institution. So we could focus in on that area. And the kinds of interventions we're talking about are providing educational leaders with access to coaching, providing them with training, peer coaching between educational leaders. And the fourth area, and the one that I think requires the most attention currently, is the area of seeing how coaching can be used to connect with the educational community. And that's an area that requires further research, but thinking about how coaching can be used to connect with parents, governors, members of the community.
My final question is more a personal one. You've obviously got a wealth of experience and knowledge and passion. You enjoy this too.
Oh, I love this work. Yeah. I grew up in Lebanon in the Middle East. I grew up during the war years, and as a young student, I can never underestimate the power of education. You know, having had a good education, despite everything that was going on, just gave me so many more opportunities. So what I'm passionate about is supporting schools to create the best possible learning environments for their students.
Christian, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Thank you, Lee.
Great to talk.
Great to talk to you too.
You've been listening to the Growth Coaching International podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. You'll find links to the materials mentioned here by Christian in the notes on this podcast page on our website. To find out more about coaching in education, please return to the Growth Coaching website on www.growthcoaching.com.au or email info@growthcoaching.com.au. The team would be delighted to assist.